When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when did they realize their sin? Immediately? Only after conversations with God? After they were expelled from the garden? Welcome to The Good Word. Our topic today is A Garment of Innocence, and it focuses on the history, the story of our first parents. The conversation partners are Dave Thomas, Dean of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University, and Paul Dibdall, Associate Professor of Mission and New Testament. Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that question. When did they realize they were sinners, and did it go by stages till they finally were struck with horror? Let's talk about what the Bible tells us about the effect of that first sin.
Well, I had some advance warning that you might ask this question, so I have my Bible open. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 describes Eve taking of the fruit. She ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. It seems to me that there was an initial awareness immediately.
Fairly soon.
Yes. Huh?
Now, that's a very interesting one. Our theme for this quarter are garments.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the end of chapter 2, man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, all of a sudden, something happened when they sinned.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they became aware of their nakedness, and now they were ashamed.
But see, I think there's more to it. I agree with you, Paul. But if you study sin, the doctrine of sin, you find that there are immediate consequences for sin, there are intermediate ones, and there are ultimate ones. And so I think that this is reflecting perhaps the immediate effects of sin. And I agree with you because a little bit later on when God comes in to talk to them in the cool of the evening, they're in hiding, which actually creates one of the most tragic mental pictures you can find in all the Bible, that here were these creatures made by God who used to commune with him, and now when he comes down in the cool of the evening, a highly personalized account, they're in hiding. But what about the intermediate effects of sin? You know, some of those are listed there, that the weeds will grow, the childbirth will be a difficult thing, that there will be now a tension between Adam and Eve. And those are things I think that they began to realize more as they experienced them.
Over time.
Certainly. Yeah. And then, I mean, you come to the horrible experience of the first death, and you know, when I read about that in my mind, I get this picture of two absolutely horrified parents who had no idea of the extent of evil and what it produces in life, you know. And then, of course, there's ultimate things, which I guess I'm saying that we are still discovering the outside parameters of sin. When you start reading about racial hatreds and genocides and the gross inhumanity of persons to each other, we are still discovering sin. And then, of course, there are the ultimate ones which remain to be seen. So
yes.
I think the answer to all three questions is yes.
You know, I am increasingly impressed. The great effect of sin is what it does to distort our ideas of authority. I think, personally, it'd be difficult to trace this down, but I think child sacrifice is the end result. The gods become more and more violent. You want to placate them. And so finally, and this is Micah 6, 6 to 8, you know, with what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I bring before him calves? Shall I give him the fruit of my flesh for the
sin of my soul?
Yeah. Fruit of my body for the sin of my soul there. You keep imagining worse and worse things. See?
Yeah.
And it's very instructive then to look in Genesis. What was God's demeanor? Did he come into the garden on a tear? In Genesis 3?
No, with a question. Where are you?
Yeah, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you?
And I think that's typical because very strong doctrines of sin, Dave, and you'd know this more from a systematician's point of view, but especially in the Calvinist Reformed tradition, they would have God's wrath burning against sinners, and then there must be an absolute and instantaneous separation between God and human beings. You don't find that in Genesis at all.
Mm-hmm.
God is just going for a walk.
Yeah, and I think that's actually fairly consistent throughout Scripture. While I certainly agree that sin separates us from God, I think looking at this, at Scripture from Genesis all the way through, we find that in our sin, we find that God comes very close to us, even in our sin.
Now, what's intriguing in that connection, Paul, you know, there's a passage in, I think, 1 Timothy 6. It says, no one can approach unto God. But you find story after story in the Old Testament where people confront God and they come away almost amazement. I've seen God.
I didn't die.
I'm still alive. That's right. See, which there seems to be the sense that, you know, we are sinners and God in holiness, but wow, he should get us, but he didn't.
Well, and Jesus, who, you know, said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It wasn't just that Jesus sought out sinners, but sinners sought him out. So that we have to pay attention to that in Scripture, I think.
But that's the amazement in the Old Testament when they confront, when they realize they have seen God and they're still alive. So they know the rules, but God is constantly breaking the rules, one might say. Now, let's look at some of the other effects of change in garments here. They go garments of skin that God made for them, which must have been really very interesting. They made garments of leaves. But God said, no, I will make you garments of skin. That would cost the lives of animals. That must have been its own horror as well. But let's talk a little bit about what happens in the relationship. They were in this together. What did sin do to the first marriage?
Well, as a part of God's question, you know, where are you, was the first question he asked. And then, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And Adam's response, it's not his finest moment. Adam manages to blame both Eve and God in a single phrase here. He says, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. So in the relationship, there's blaming now, which is taking place between the two, while he also blames God. So a kind of fracture in his relationship, their relationship with God, certainly with each other as well. We see that happen.
Yeah, and his comment is actually a bit disingenuous, because the scriptures are clear that Eve was deceived. In other words, she was tricked, but he apparently was not. He understood what Eve had done and decided to join her.
And that raises an interesting question. Would you rather say I was tricked, wasn't smart enough, or would say I was a rebel and I did it with my own eyes wide open?
I think I'd want to claim ignorance.
You want to claim ignorance?
that would be my way.
Somebody snookered me.
Somebody snookered me. Yeah. Okay.
But you know, also that text that it talks about tells Eve that your desire will be to your husband is also reflective of a change in things, and that text actually has an interesting history, that there are a number of people who use that as a justification for a hierarchical marriage where the man is more acceptable or more competent to God before God than the woman would be. And, you know, I read an interesting commentary on those verses some years ago, which would suggest that actually that should probably be taken to mean that there's now come an inherent tension, a competing to see who will be.
The Hebrew can be read as mere description. It doesn't have to be, you know. It's not prescriptive. In other words, one of the tragic results of this, your husband will rule over you.
Yeah.
And it seems to me quite clear, especially in the light of Jesus Christ, that our goal is to go back to Genesis 1, where male and female are created together. But it's amazing, you know, the three great subjugations there in Galatians 3, and we will talk about this later this quarter, male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile. The New Testament really only addressed the Jew, Gentile one. We're still struggling with male, female today.
Yeah.
Let's now turn to another relationship. We talked about the God-human relationship. What about the effect of sin on nature?
You know, you remind me of a story. When I was a young man in college, I had a job in the summer that involved a lot of physical labor. And I remember one day, it was out in the woods, and one day lunchtime came and I was pretty tired. And I went and threw myself down under a big spreading maple tree. This happened to be a maple tree that had grown not near the power lines, and so it had its full canopy. And I just lay there in the grass looking up, and I began to notice that in every leaf there was some kind of hole or deformity. And it just triggered in my mind this thought here, is that I'm quite confident that if we had picked every leaf off of that tree, I don't know how many leaves are on a big tree, hundreds of thousands perhaps. But my guess is if we looked at every single one of those, we would not have found a perfect one.
And what applications did you make that to your experience at that point, or did you make that application?
No, it was just kind of a sorrowful moment to realize that even something as glorious as a tree in its full foliage has not escaped this.
Yeah, everything has been touched.
Yeah, yeah.
By sin.
Yeah. And, of course, living here in the Walla Walla Valley, every year I like to grow a garden. And I never do that without being completely astonished at the capacity of weeds. You know, we can have 6-foot-high weeds in this valley in seemingly 6 weeks with no rain, whereas your beans or your tomatoes, they have to be tended, but the weeds just, I mean, I've never lived in a place where the weeds are so capable of growing to magnificent size with apparently no assistance of any kind, and I mean, that's mentioned in there, weeds.
I think there's also an effect within people as well. This is going back to the nakedness and no shame. With sin, there comes the capacity to the feeling of guilt, of recognition of our vulnerability, and those things that we struggle with internally, all of us, that there's a break there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it actually shows up in very powerful ways when we are caught doing wrong. You know, that there are all kinds of almost automatic responses of guilt and retreat and attempts to hide things.
You know? I use the illustration of a little boy that takes a cookie from the cookie jar and his parents don't know anything about it. But as soon as he sees his mother, the guilt takes over. Now, it's possible to harden that that he can then cheerfully steal without lying. That's a great tragedy. You know, when that happens, but that is certainly one of the illustrations.
Yeah, and this is one of the amazing things about little children, because they are unable to mask their guilt, and they can't be devious very well.
I didn't do anything, Mommy. Didn't do anything.
Yeah. Oh, no, nobody asked
as
you.
As an opening line, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, the one other aspect here in our time is just about up, but I think the ruined nature is a call for us to be very patient. I think of this when I go into the garden. You know, the plants cannot be bullied. Mm-hmm. Very gently. And when I visit our daughter in Italy, they've had the knack of getting the craziest cats. They're frightened. And I can't just come up to them and say, "Don't be frightened. I'm a nice guy." It is really problematic for them. Well, our time is up. My thanks to Dave and Paul for their contributions today, and also my thanks to Chad Ofterhauer, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.